This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. It's safe to say we're not where many of us hoped we'd be in terms of the pandemic, but one group is being hit the hardest, the unvaccinated. About 97% of those recently hospitalized by COVID were unvaccinated, and the unvaccinated account for almost 99% of recent COVID deaths. As states across the country revise their COVID guidelines, some fully vaccinated Americans are at the end of their rope with loved ones who refuse to get the shot.
My two youngest sisters have been vaccine hesitant this entire time. One, because she's afraid the vaccine will hurt her fertility. The other, because she says she just doesn't trust the government. I've spent months and months sending them article after article to help educate them on the facts of vaccines. And just last week, they finally agreed that they wish they wouldn't have waited so long. They're ready to get vaccinated. But checking in with them a week later and they still haven't made an appointment. They say they just don't have the time to make an appointment. And they know that I can't see them until they're fully vaccinated. And I just wish that they wanted to hug me as badly as I want to hug them.
Renee, thanks for sharing that message. Health officials warn that more variants could emerge if the virus continues to spread among the unvaccinated. They worry that eventually the current vaccines will no longer be effective against new strains. One of the biggest questions of the pandemic now is, what will it take to get the unvaccinated vaccinated? Doctors in states with some of the country's lowest vaccination rates are trying to answer that question, and two of them join us now. Dr. Dawn Marcel is the medical director at the Louisiana Department of Health for the Baton Rouge region. Roughly 37% of Louisiana's total population is fully vaccinated, compared to the national average of 50%. Dr. Marcel, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Also with us is Dr. Rachel Lee. She's an epidemiologist and assistant professor at the University of Alabama at Birmingham's School of Medicine. Alabama currently has the lowest vaccination rate in the country at 34% of the total population fully vaccinated. Dr. Lee, it's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And just to be clear, when we say the unvaccinated, we're not talking about those who are unable to get vaccinated for medical reasons. Now, Dr. Lee, as we just mentioned, Alabama has the lowest vaccination rate in the nation. Why do you think the state is so far behind the rest of the country?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there are two things that we have to ask ourselves, the who behind who's not vaccinated and then the why. So I think we have some pretty good data on who is not vaccinated yet. And there are some distinct patterns that come up. So number one is income. We have lower income brackets do appear to have this higher share of unvaccinated people. And so some of that may be related to perceived cost of medical care, maybe due to jobs that they have that make it difficult to schedule time off, transportation issues, et cetera. Age is also a big factor here. We see a lot of younger people that are less likely to be vaccinated compared to older adults. And some of that may be due to this thought that, you know, I'm not going to have as many symptoms compared to someone who's older. I'm going to be okay. And, you know, they really try to push off the concerns around COVID-19. There's also this issue with race. You know, beginning in July, the vaccination rate was 15% lower for Black and Hispanic people compared to white people in the United States. I think that gap is closing, but we still have a ways to go. And then lastly, unfortunately, and this is the hardest one for me, is that it does appear there's a partisan connection that nearly all U.S. counties below the 20% vaccination rates do lean Republican, and almost all of the 65% lean Democrat. So I think we have some work to do in those different categories.
Dr. Marcel, Louisiana is also among the states with the lowest vaccination rates in the country. Why do you think your state is struggling so much to get people vaccinated?
We are struggling for many of the same reasons mentioned. We have also noticed the same variabilities. And I do think that we are finding that people have a lot of doubt and mistrust in the development of the vaccine. Some people do not think it will impact them. Even though we say it's our problem and we are all connected through this, because of its early presentation in the elderly population, there are some younger people who I think truly don't believe it impacts them. I have found, as mentioned in Renee's comments, a mistrust of the government. And it really is politicized here. It is extremely politicized.
We got this message from Dakota on Facebook who says, why should I expend the energy to try and convince someone to get vaccinated? They know the facts. They know the risks. Let them reap what they sow. And I will say, this is the kind of feedback we get from a good number of 1AN listeners who have, I think, sort of reached the end of their empathy rope, Dr. Lee, for people across the country. Why do you think they should be invested in getting these vaccination rates up?
You know, vaccination is a critical piece in our public health response to COVID-19. I will say that the messaging here in the United States has been consistently around how it's a personal decision to get vaccinated, but pandemics, by their definition, are collective problems, and we have to think more about our actions protecting our loved ones and our communities. If we continue to see these low rates of vaccination, we will continue to have these variants that can come up and continue to have surges. So it's time to start changing the way that we think about it. It's not just about myself, but about our communities. And I think, you know, what Renee mentioned at the beginning is so incredibly important. It takes time and effort to really convince some people that have these very strong beliefs of or a distrust in our government to change their minds. But it can happen, and we have to continue to remain positive.
I'm curious to hear from both of you, starting with you, Dr. Marcel. What are some of the common reasons you hear from people avoiding the vaccine?
Access, they can't get to it, do not have time, fear before Delta was fear of somehow being contaminated, having their DNA damaged, fear of fertility. People were truly afraid of the vaccine itself, mistrust. People were not trustful of government-sponsored vaccination programs because it was the government. People were afraid of vaccines because there is a general public fear here amongst some that the vaccine was created too swiftly. And somehow this is all still experimental and we aren't truly sure that it works. So fear and mistrust are two big ones, in addition to some people truly believing that they will not get it. And it doesn't directly involve them as far as contracting COVID.
Well, particularly around this issue of not getting the virus, how would you describe the state of the pandemic right now in terms of hospitalizations, the number of people who are being infected in your state?
Great question. Perfectly timed. Within the last week, we have seen a drastic increase in the number of inpatient hospitalizations. And we are now where we were at the very beginning. In March of 2020, we are approaching those levels of inpatient admissions when New Orleans was the third fastest growth rate of new cases in the entire world. And so it is very concerning to see that type of rate of increase in hospitalizations this far into the pandemic after the availability of vaccines, to see that we're here and it is still summer. This virus could show some seasonality with worsening in the fall and winter seasons, and it is still summer and we are seeing this increase. What we can also say is the large majority of people admitted right now are unvaccinated. They are the unvaccinated who were hospitalized.
Trying to convince a family member or friend to get vaccinated can be exhausting, but it could be the only thing that jumpstarts America's lagging vaccination rate. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Joe knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/1A.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Audible. Chasing Ghislaine is a new investigative podcast series from executive producer James Patterson and hosted by veteran journalist Vicky Ward, who has been covering the Jeffrey Epstein saga for nearly 20 years. Epstein's story intertwines with the disgraced heiress Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's ex-lover, former employee, and alleged co-conspirator. Chasing Ghislaine is available exclusively on Audible. To start listening, go to audible.com/chasing.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal, host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. After a year and a half of broadcasting from our bedrooms, we are returning to shows with real live audiences starting August 5th in Philadelphia. Don't worry, we will still have our beds on stage with us. Join us.
We're discussing the unvaccinated population. And just to be clear, we're talking about people who are choosing not to be vaccinated, not those who can't access the vaccine for medical reasons. Dr. Lee, what are you most concerned about if vaccination rates don't rise? Walk us through some of the consequences.
Right. So I think one of the biggest things to realize is that COVID-19 does not care who you are or what you believe, merely that you have living cells in which it can replicate. And so with that in mind, you know, if we continue to see people who are not vaccinated, there will be a group in the population where we can continue to see that transmission. And so with that can come, unfortunately, new variants. And this COVID-19 virus is not very accurate in terms of how it replicates, and so that's how these variants are created. And what we're seeing now with the Delta variant, it looks like it's much more transmissible, which is concerning because now we're seeing more cases in people who are fully vaccinated. So we really want to stop that in its tracks if we can through vaccination.
Well, we heard from several of you about how you've been able to convince someone you know to get vaccinated.
I'm a physician. I got my COVID vaccine while I was breastfeeding after much careful thought, and have a friend, also a physician, who got her vaccine while she was pregnant. And initially, she had not wanted to do that, but I just listened to her, and we kind of talked through and explored the evidence together. And after we talked about it, she decided to go ahead and get vaccinated.
When I heard about the vaccine, I was super excited to get it, but my mother was less than thrilled. But I was able to just, you know, explain to her that I would be devastated if anything were to happen to her, and that it would really be life-changing if she would do this for me. And, you know, they say a mother's love can't be topped, so I guess that did it for her.
This is Carrie from Boca Raton, Florida, and I found myself in an Atlanta post office in a very long line, and there were four women on either side of me, and none of them got the vaccine. So I pulled up Code Breakers and showed them the science. We all exchanged emails, and they all got vaccinated. So I think people need to be brave about doing this.
Chelsea, Eric, Carrie, thanks for leaving us those messages. Now, Dr. Lee, you talk to patients who are unvaccinated about getting the vaccine. What are some of the most effective ways to convince someone who is vaccine hesitant?
The biggest thing that I do is knowing my patient helps incredibly well. So if I have a patient who is pregnant, we talk about the risks and the benefits of getting vaccinated. And, you know, I think the important thing right now to know is that the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology on Friday came out to enthusiastically recommend vaccinations in women who are pregnant or breastfeeding or who are even thinking about getting pregnant. So, you know, answering the questions from those patients is incredibly important. And I can tell you that in the patients I've talked to, no two people have the exact same concerns. And so when we think about our friends and families who are really talking to our loved ones, that's incredibly important because you are continuing to help them and work through the issues that they have.
So what I hear you saying is having that personal relationship can be a key factor in helping someone through this decision. But I think what I've heard from a lot of folks is the strain the pandemic has put on personal relationships as people are trying to navigate, you know, can we get together as a family? Do we, you know, who's going to grandma's house? That those strains make it really difficult to have these conversations when it feels like look, I've done all the right things. I kept my distance. I got my vaccine, but my life is still being limited because of a choice you're making. Have you talked to people about how they can navigate that emotional space?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's incredibly hard to work through that process because we become incredibly angry with our loved ones when we feel like they're making a decision that can hurt them and it can also hurt us. So I think the key there is actually to step back and give yourself time to work through the anger that you may have to them, towards them. And then the other piece to this is continuing to have that conversation about the reasons why. And, you know, really trying to break down each individual reason that a person has. You know, I live in the South and I've heard a lot about, you know, I trust in God and I trust in, you know, a higher power to help us with that. But it's very important for people to realize that we are all working together as a community and that matters to us and we love one another and we want to get out of this together.
Dr. Marcel, how is the legacy of racism and racist practices in medicine intersected with uncertainty around the vaccine in communities of color?
It's very deeply connected. In particular, one of the first, or one of the biggest, most common race-related concerns that people express to me are related to what happened in the state of Alabama at Tuskegee with the Tuskegee experiment or syphilis experiment, and a lot of people definitely called that to mind when speaking to me about vaccines, and it is a part of the general mistrust of government, but particularly for people of color. I mean, also the health disparities and the impact of social determinants of health that can be delineated amongst racial lines here in the state of Louisiana have also impacted COVID-19 and access to the vaccine because many people are more chronically ill because they don't have primary care physicians. And one of the challenges has been connecting to the people who don't have a doctor. It's really, really important to be able to speak to a trusted physician with whom you have a relationship and who knows you medically, who knows your medical history, who understands your medical history, and who genuinely cares about you. But not everyone has that. You know, we say talk to your doctor, but when you don't have a doctor, to whom do you speak?
Dr. Lee, misinformation about the vaccine plays a huge role in stoking vaccine hesitancy. And this misinformation is coming from social media. But we've got to just say it. It's also coming from some politicians. How are you thinking about ways to combat misinformation, particularly when people believe it's coming from a credible source, like their local politician?
Right. So I think the first piece is understanding who has the best information about vaccines. And this is where we as clinicians really need to step up and make sure that we understand the vaccine and understand the process first so that we can talk to our patients. But more than that, if you think about how vaccines are typically rolled out, one of the things that comes to my mind is, you know, when the polio vaccine came out, there was hesitancy with that as well, until famous celebrities like Elvis Presley got vaccinated, and it was a big, big campaign about that. We need to see religious leaders, political leaders, community leaders, all doing the same thing and understanding the vaccine and then reaching out to their constituents and their community to remind people how important it is to get vaccinated.
Anne Marie says people who are vaccine hesitant say they're afraid of side effects but should be afraid of the virus. Anna writes, it's been frustrating because their excuse is that they fear the potential side effects and needles. My family and I finally said you either get vaccinated or you can't be around us anymore without wearing a mask nor be in our home. We know too many people who have died from COVID. We also had it and know it feels much worse than getting pricked or the mild side effects after vaccination. And we should note here that there have been 615,000 deaths in the U.S. and 4.23 million globally as a result of COVID-19. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Joe knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/1A. Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Joe knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult.
Now let's get back to our conversation. Well, Dr. Marcel, even though the unvaccinated population has gotten a lot of attention lately, vaccination rates are rising. Alabama's average is more than double what it was 3 weeks ago, and Louisiana saw daily vaccination rates rise 111% compared to 3 weeks ago. What's behind the rise in those rates?
The Delta variant, people are concerned, or they're beginning to get concerned again. They are seeing that the people who are being admitted to the hospitals, the people who are getting sick, are unvaccinated. And I do think that there is an appreciation beginning to happen for the seriousness of the severity of illness and the rapid spread of this particular variant. I do think, and people want to get back to things we could do prior to COVID, going places, gathering in groups, seeing families. And we've been advised to wear masks again indoors. And people want to be able to go places and do things without that again. And I do think that they are realizing the seriousness of this variant. And the only way we are going to begin to get back to normal, or our new norm, is going to be with collective protection through more people being vaccinated one arm at a time. Each person counts, and we all have to do our part if we are going to collectively get there.
Well, so far we've been mostly talking about those who've been fully vaccinated and those who haven't been vaccinated at all, but there's a group that's in between the two.
Hi, my name's Eva. My son, Garrett, he's had his first dose of the Pfizer vaccine. However, he hasn't gotten his second dose. I have begged, pleaded, offered him money, and he still hasn't gotten his second dose.
Dr. Lee, how big of a problem is partial vaccination and getting those who've gotten their first shot, if they're on a two-shot system, to go back and get their second?
You know, I think the first question is, you know, with this new Delta variant, does one shot alone protect you against getting COVID-19? And the data says and suggests that it does not. Like, you should be able to get at least some partial protection with the wild type variant, right? What was originally around in March of 2020. But with this Delta variant, we have absolutely no idea how a single shot can protect you from getting infected. And so I think the key for those who have loved ones, or if you are a clinician caring for patients that have only gotten one shot, to figure out the why behind them only getting one, and then to provide that information to say, look, we are dealing with a new beast here, which is Delta, and we want to get you protected, so go get that second shot.
Dr. Lee, those who've been fully vaccinated can still contract the virus, as you've said, even though breakthrough infections are not common. Some people who are vaccine hesitant might be pointing to that as a reason to claim the vaccine is not effective. Why is getting the vaccine, just very plainly, even if you can still on very rare occasions get the virus, better than the alternative?
I think if you think look at the CDC data, I think it's really clear that if you are vaccinated, you have an eightfold reduction in getting COVID-19, just infection alone. And then from there, it's 25-fold reduction in being hospitalized and dying from COVID. 25-fold. Those numbers are astounding. And this vaccine is a game changer in terms of preventing your loved ones and yourself from dying from COVID-19. We know that it can protect you from getting it. And so what we've seen clinically, we're seeing less long haulers, and that's what we really want to do, because you have no idea how your body will respond to COVID-19. Some young, healthy people can have long-hauled symptoms, and that's what we want to prevent in addition to hospitalizations and deaths.
Dr. Marcel, we touched on this earlier, but I think it bears repeating. When we're talking about FDA approval, we're talking about a very long-term process. Explain a little bit more about how this works.
Well, as stated earlier, it can take a minimum of 6 months, and there are rounds of paperwork and approval paperwork to be submitted and reviewed prior to formal approval. And that process, those processes are still being undertaken. They are underway. This EUA is not instead of approval. It is until approval is formally granted. The benefit of being authorized to use it prior to approval in an emergency situation is so that we can go ahead and have the benefit of the positive impact that access to the vaccines will give us in preventing illness and even preventing death from COVID. But the formal approval process is being pursued. And so we do expect it to come. And as stated earlier in the broadcast by Dr. Lee, we did have sufficient data of 6 months of the vaccine prior to the EUA. And so people were watching this. And what I would also say is the vaccine technology is not new. So the FDA is familiar with the type of vaccines that are being used. And so it's not that this technology is new to them and that we are unfamiliar with it. It is known in the medical community. People are aware of it. We have had enough time and enough numbers of people who have received the vaccine successfully. And for those who are vaccinated, we are seeing a direct correlation in decreased hospitalizations, decreased cases, and decreased deaths. And so we are seeing that.
As you both continue to try to raise vaccination rates, especially in the face of misinformation and disinformation that continues to circulate, what's your top focus, Dr. Marcel?
Persistence and sticking to the facts, sharing the facts, and not giving up. You asked earlier about being hopeful, and as Dr. Lee said, We have to remain hopeful, but we also have to remain persistent. And even though we're in a state of emergency, patient with those who don't immediately get vaccinated, we cannot give up. We have to keep educating people. One thing that I have to say, I wish that the facts would be spread and embraced as easily or as readily as it seems the misinformation is adhered to. But I think we just have to keep stating the facts, sharing the data, stating the information, not to cause alarm or fear, but to demonstrate the seriousness of this and encourage people to get vaccinated. We just cannot give up. We must persist.
Dr. Lee, very briefly.
Yeah, you know, I'm just reminded of one of my patients who, after I talked with him about COVID-19 vaccination, he came back 3 months later and told me that he had convinced everyone in his neighborhood, every single family member, to get vaccinated. And through that process of persistence and being willing to take those family members and loved ones to get a vaccine, he was able to help with access and really help his community. So don't give up.
That's Dr. Rachel Lee. She's an epidemiologist and assistant professor at the University of Alabama at Birmingham's School of Medicine, and Dr. Dawn Marcel, medical director at the Louisiana Department of Health for the Baton Rouge region. Thanks to you both. Today's producer was Haley Blassingame. Our podcast is produced by Barb Anguiano. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. This is 1A.